Tuned to KBOO in Portland, and coming right up is Air Cascadia.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, July 28, 2014. And you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. First, I just want to make a clarification. This goes regarding Thursday and Friday's shows. I was horrified and outraged as we listened to the report from Lavapa Hospital. We had been speaking with the executive director of the hospital, Basman Alashi, and I said something to the effect, what kind of people would do such a thing? And apparently someone took offense at that. I would say the same thing if, for example, Southeast Portland attacked Northwest Portland, and Southeast had just a handful of casualties, and Northwest had thousands of people killed, and no place to run, no place to hide, told to have run from their houses because their homes were going to be bombed in any minute, and some of them given only 5 minutes to take their worldly possessions with them, and even then, after running, where did they go to? No bomb shelters. Northwest has no sirens warning of an air raid, because why bother if there are no bomb shelters? In exactly the same way that I would say, what kind of people would do this? It's no reflection on anyone's religion or ethnicity. It's simply my reflection on a particular set of behaviors and actions. So that I wanted to clarify that. We are today going to try to speak with Joel Catrone. He's been living in Gaza for quite a while. He does not necessarily describe himself as a journalist, but now anyone in Gaza speaking with the media is automatically a journalist, just as anyone trying to fight back is considered a militant. But then if your home, your land is under constant mortal terror, then of course you fight back, and that makes every man, woman and child a militant, in other words. And the news out of Gaza, the death toll rises. Neither Hamas nor the Israelis are interested in the type of ceasefire agreement that's on the table right now. And in the case of Hamas, for good reason, because what is never mentioned in mainstream media is that Gaza has been under a state of lockdown for 5 years, more than that, really. I mean, you could talk about going back decades, but in the case of Gaza, this is not the first time this has happened. Nobody in Gaza, think about it, if you are not allowed to leave a particular area, and that area in which you are not allowed to leave, it has not been permitted to rebuild itself after the last Israeli attacks on it. No concrete, just Coca-Cola. That's what they get. And when they protest that, they're called militants. Go figure. More on this, these stories later. But this is right now the top story. Finally, the world is beginning to take notice. Finally, the tenor of the discourse is beginning to change. The media has been forced to acknowledge and confront its own complicity in the death toll, simply for lack of accurate reporting, simply for refusing to offer any form of balanced insight into what has got to be history's most quintessential asymmetrical war, the aggression of state-of-the-art military, land, air, and sea attacks constantly, day and night, pounding a civilian population into nothing but blood on a dusty street, pounding them into their own history. While the civilians naturally fight back, of course they do, and if that makes them militants, then many say so be it, because the Palestinian people, in all likelihood, can't speak for the Palestinian people, but in all likelihood, they won't back down, because this is where, this is the last stand. It's not simply some sort of hazy, misty-eyed, biblical a gift from God. No. Closer to home, and we our stellar and outstanding engineer Kate Welch is still trying to get Jokatron on the line from Gaza. Here in Cascadia, four states came close to losing their waivers as for, from some parts of No Child Left Behind mandates when the past year, school year began, but only one has actually lost the flexibility. Education Secretary Arne Duncan began promoting this in 2011. Washington, of course, is that state. The three others, Oregon, Kansas, and Arizona, appear to be on the path to resolving their differences with Duncan and the federal government. It's nice to dream of the day when every child in the nation is reading and doing math at grade level. Well, the goal of No Child Left Behind, of course, for that, of course, is 2014. While it has been praised for focusing on the performance of minorities, low-income students, English language learners, and special ed kids, the education law has led to a number of schools being labeled as failing, and some say it encourages instructors to teach to the test. Of course it does. But get this, learning to the test is another thing. Learning to the to any test, a good test or bad test, doesn't matter what kind of test, nonetheless requires work and effort. And so do other goals. So any child, to accomplish anything, the child has to first understand the value of education. Many Americans don't. They just hate it. They've simply been conditioned to hate school and see no value in education. They expect to have everything that they want handed to them on a silver platter. And where the rubber hits the road is the fury when it appears that that's not going to happen, at least not without minimal effort. They also need to appreciate the rewards of hard work. I mean, learning for the sake of learning, learning as its own reward. It doesn't seem that I have not heard that discussed anywhere in any of the long-winded dialogues on the subject of education. And kids aren't curious about the world, and they're not encouraged to be. The idea is, oh, we have to make learning appropriate to their experience. No, we don't. The whole purpose of learning is to give kids new experiences that they haven't had before. Teaching stuff that in terms that they already know accomplishes exactly nothing. And it's why we have a nation of people who are completely not curious about the world that they live in. When people were polled about what they thought about the oil trains, also known as bomb trains, rolling through Cascadia, they said that they didn't care much about it because they hadn't read anything about it. They weren't interested in it. It was not something that captured their limited and somewhat stunted imaginations. That's what you get. When you encourage children to never step beyond their own boundaries. And the Vancouver Columbian has got this for us. We've been hearing rumblings for a while now. There's a proposed bridge again, championed this time by Clark County Commissioner David Medore. The idea this time it could cross the river from Highway 14 at Southeast 192nd Avenue in Vancouver, jog to the west slightly, cross Government Island, what a bad idea, and connect to Northeast Airport Way in Oregon. If you get out a map and draw the lines, you'll see what an excruciatingly awful idea this is. The bridge would feature four lanes for motor vehicles and two covered lanes for bike and foot traffic. This third bridge has long been considered an option to relieve congestion between the two states. One might think that before building a solution to the congestion problem, legislators might have sought the guidance of the people who study transportation and congestion problems. But no, these are the same legislators who forgot to include sufficient clearance for river traffic the last time around. It's doubtful that they're going to take a look at every single study that shows incontrovertible evidence that building more freeways causes more what? Wait for it. Congestion. That's right. And this recent last weekend's Comic-Con convention, a group of young women drew widespread attention to a very real issue. Allegations, of course, of what else? Sexual harassment. Annual culture fiesta. Geeks for Consent, that's C-O-N in caps, and which was founded by these three women, gathered nearly 2,600 signatures in an online petition supporting a formal anti-harassment policy. But for God's sakes, what else is it about? Has anybody ever looked at a comic? How else do you portray the characters in the comic world? And the other day, the national nonprofit Animal Legal Defense Fund, along with co-plaintiffs Project Coyote and an individual Oregon resident, settled a lawsuit against one Duane Frelino, organizer of the annual JMK Coyote Hunting Contest in Harney County. Frelino's Killing Fest, held annually now for 8 years, required hunters to buy into the contest by paying an entry fee of $100. Teams won cash prizes totaling more than $10,000 for various types of killing. Most kills, largest kill. It's too sad to go on, but at least it looks like for now it may have been stopped. Frelino eventually dropped his meritless claim and settled a lawsuit against him by agreeing never to host another hunting contest in Oregon. And he got a little pinky slap of a bit of about $5,000 in attorney fees, which he had to pay to the groups. That said, it turns out that Americans are just too ignorant to be given a piece of information, but that was a key conclusion. That was a key conclusion of a session of the House Agricultural Committee this week. The issue? Well, of course, genetically modified organisms, or GMOs. Those members of the Subcommittee on Horticulture Research, Biotechnology, and Foreign Agriculture, as well as four experts, agreed that the genetic engineering of food crops has been what they call a thorough success, responsible for feeding the hungry, improving nutrition, and reducing the use of pesticides. And here you thought that the problem was that Americans were too ignorant to understand the dangers of GMOs. But nope, that's not what they concluded at all. Oh well, nice try. And on Sunday, the Israeli army confirmed firing a mortar round into a Gaza UN shelter for 15 people killed. The killing is just, it's impossible to keep up with it. There are websites, of course, the International Middle East Media Center and other places. That's a good place to get started. And there are blogs and there are postings from people there on the ground that will keep you updated. But staying on top of the body count is at this point virtually impossible. And the world wildly proclaiming, of course, that that the Israelis are only, that they have a right to protect themselves, and yet, strangely enough, the Palestinians do not also share such rights. Maybe it's because the rest of the world doesn't see Palestinians as people at all. That was the problem right from the get-go. They flew over Palestine, they looked down, they saw Palestinians, they decided, okay, those aren't really people, we'll wipe them out, and we'll move in these what became Israelis. And that's what we see today, is refusal to accept the humanity of the Palestinians. If then the numbers were reversed, you could imagine the wailing and gnashing of teeth across the world if the Palestinians had slaughtered Israelis the way the Israelis are slaughtering the Palestinian people. It's almost time to go. We've got an Earth First breaking news story. Three locals at Anacortes locked their arms inside barrels full of cement on Tesoro's train tracks in Anacortes, Washington, this morning to protest oil by rail shipments in the Pacific Northwest. Anacortes is, of course, the base of a Tesoro refinery, which exploded 4 years ago, leading to the deaths of seven workers. Tesoro is currently planning to expand the refinery to process even greater quantities of oil for export. And on that note, this has been Air Cascadia for Monday, July 28th, 2014. Kate Welch engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is, as always, the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
The news is bad. Untold scores of traumatized children fleeing the violence engulfing their homes. The U.S. government and your tax dollars fueling the flames. Am I talking about Honduras, Gaza, Syria, or Iraq? No, I'm talking about our longest-running war, our 9/11 bomb 'em back to the Stone Ages war, Afghanistan. A human crisis of nearly incomprehensible proportions continues to unfold while other crises grab the headlines. Join me, Linda Olson Osterlin, for Wednesday Talk Radio. Call in and talk with guest Professor Zahair Wahab, just back from Kabul. Ask your questions and share your point of view on America's longest war. That's Wednesday Talk Radio with guest Professor Zahair Wahab, right here on KBOO Community Radio.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members.